May 23rd, 2019, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Why for Pedro show? You just heard our guest, Brother Matt.
Yeah,
how you doing?
Good. It's all
man,
good.
Man, was that a surprise storm?
Man,
yesterday that came out. We had a blue skies people here in SoCal, and we're getting towards the end of May and out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's still been kind of like lingering winter.
It's all gray ass. Yeah. In fact, my hobble
it was blowing
right from the hobble to your pad.
Oh, cool.
Over here. Because it was, you know, I do a grade, then a no grade, then a grade. So it was grade day. And it was supposed to be Paul Bunker. Battery, even though they're bunkers, don't call him that because that was his name. But that'd be all mud. So instead, I did this overlook to Furman, the Korean Bell, pack pad.
It's cool having plenty of options.
I got 10 routes, yeah, and you can switch them out, you know, because we don't get a lot, but man, you don't want to be, especially if you're a cripple like me, wading through mud and shit, falling down, don't want to go down. But everything else, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
we lost Mr. Derek.
That sucks, man.
You know, this is an old-time Pedro musician, people, and probably in your spin cycle.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm one of the keepers of his musical archive.
And he made a buttload.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
This guy was incredibly prolific.
After he could play any instrument, but after his Parkinson's set in, he kind of went through a period in the studio taking care of projects and stuff that always piled up.
Everything.
So he did that while he still could, and then couldn't do that anymore. But yeah, man, that dude, he suffered the last few years with all that stuff.
In Crane a few months.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool.
I went to high school and junior high with his brother, Robert. Very, very quiet guy. I don't think he did music. But he's very, very sweet. Although we started off Blues to You, Alternate Take Two, John Coltrane, and Prelude from False Bliss, who are guests. Three of them are in Edinburgh: Alistair, John, Chris. And then Dave is in Toronto, Canada. So we're working a three-way here, Brother Matt. I don't think we've ever done that before.
What's your favorite way to get False Bliss?
Probably this way, right? Constant video.
All right, all right, all right. So anyway, I think it's a new thing for the...
three-way.
Who's the baloney? Are we the baloney? What they call it in the Northwest? They call it Lucky Pierre, right? The socket man in a three-way. Who wants to go first? We're going to talk about your journey through music.
Okay. Dave, you up for it, or should we?
You guys lead on. I'll follow.
Yeah, let's go alphabetical. Alistair.
Okay.
What's your earliest musical memory?
Oh, man. Being taken to see Shirley Bassey by my mum, my auntie, and my uncle.
Cool.
Wow.
And, yeah.
She just got to play with her, and she was us and them were the only ones, or her, with real bands. She's a Welsh lady, right? Really low, strong voice.
Yeah, she's got beauty voice.
That pre-propeller head?
Yeah, like different costume change on each second song. There's a bit of a funny one because there's a UK comedian called Danny Baker who is supporting, and it's like the most ridiculous combination you can think of. And he was like coming out with kind of penis jokes, and the whole crowd were made up of people like my mum and my auntie. So that was the very first show I ever went to.
You know, I used to do it when I first, no, the second time I saw television at the Roxy on Sunset, West Hollywood, a comedian opened the gig. And the last bit was like him putting a beer, spilling beer out, but the bottle down there like it was his dick. And he goes, here's a heroin joke. And then Dick Lloyd comes out, his guitar falls off the strap, he don't even know it, he's strumming. Roadie man had to put up there. So the house you grew up in, Alistair, was there instruments?
No, not at all.
So were your folks like listeners? Did you have records?
Yeah, she had a few records, but like she was mainly like a singer. Like she quite enjoyed choir. So she used to go to like some groups in town. Like I moved up to Scotland from England like when I was a wee nipper, like very small. And my mum, she used to go up and sing in the choir, and she's probably sang to more people than I've ever played music to.
Now, does she get you into singing?
Yeah, well, I definitely think that's where I got my vocal cords from.
Okay. What about school? Did you get in the choir or some shit like that?
Yeah, I was more into plays. Like I was like the Pharaoh, like in the Moses play.
The theater.
I had like waves crashing down on me. I was I used to like be the little actor, so that was me.
Okay, you'd be surprised. A lot of people in music have roots in acting. We've had on the show here.
It's weird. I don't think I've ever told anybody that, and now I'm telling Michael out on the radio.
Yeah, well, look, I think in the old days it was really heavy, like doing drama in high school, because it's kind of a stereotype. But that's society's problem, not our problem. So fuck yeah. So did you do the thing like garage bands on the side, in the basement, in the bedroom, that kind of shit?
I think, yeah, it was kind of that way. Like, I kind of like got pretty bypassed by all the bands in school. And, you know, I got to like a little bit later in school, and I was like, "Oh man, I've missed out on this really cool thing. I kind of want to sing in a band."
What was the first record you bought yourself?
Oh man, I think like actually dedicated to it was the Prodigy's like Music for the Joint Generation.
We just lost the dancer guy, right?
Yeah, that's it, Keith Flint. I think that was the first band I properly got excited about.
What about first gig you went to, Alistair?
First gig, I was at Stereophonics in the Barrowlands.
Wow, that's a trip. And so a little later, like what, like college? Did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to college, so after I like started getting a bit older, I started joining in bands, and some friends down the way, we lived in the countryside, they had like a spare house that their parents were building up, and we used to practice in there and put like foam all over the walls and stuff and make our own little practice rooms and form in like a little, we made like a little festival named after my friend Gab, so it was called Gabfest, which was pretty hilarious. We were like railway sleepers and like bits of floorboard and scaffolding and just kind of wrecked it together. It was pretty good.
Sure.
We just started sharing music. Like, just started getting into like bands like Sonic Youth and, you know, Jazzy and Minutemen.
No, but the way, yeah, well, the way you're doing it is total Minuteman philosophy, Jammy Conno.
Oh, yeah.
So let's move on to Chris. Chris, what's your earliest music recollection?
I got taught piano when I was a kid. It was by this old Norwegian lady that lived beside me. And if I was good and I practiced my scales, she would play me some of Edvard Grieg's stuff that was like really ominous short songs about trolls and stuff. She used to tell me the stories while she was playing it on the piano. That was probably my earliest.
So there was a piano in the pad you grew up? What town was that?
That was in a place called Kelso, which is right at the border between Scotland and England. Okay. And yeah, we had a piano in our house when we were growing up.
Okay, what about, it was a good experience, you know, because we've had lots of people had horrible piano. But this lady was all right, like if you played your scales right, which means you had to practice, right?
Yeah, well, I felt kind of encouraged to practice.
And, sure, sure.
Just for the reward of hearing her playing with a lot more kind of skill than I could ever imagine getting to.
Did you do music in school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I did a little bit of drums for the jazz band, but no, not really. I didn't even take music.
Okay, how did you get on the drums? Because that's what you're playing now, right?
Just really wanted to make a racket. I wanted to play in a punk band, and so I did play in a punk band. I couldn't really play very much when I first started. It was just kind of faking it till I made it.
When did you get your first set, drum set?
I probably would have been about 12 when I got my first drum set. My parents knew that I was quite musical, and I played a little bit at high school. They'd never really heard me play, so they kind of went on a limb hoping that it was going to be worth the investment, and I hope that it was.
Where'd you practice, in your bedroom?
Yeah.
Did they dig that?
Yeah, my mom's so patient.
All right.
Yeah.
You usually buy your enemy neighbor kid a drum set, right? What was the first record you bought yourself, Chris?
Oh, man. Probably a Slayer record, maybe. Yeah. It was just like loud and fast. It was basically all I was interested in.
Then you wouldn't have liked South of Heaven, right? That was a slow one.
No. It was Rain and Blood if it was any of them. It must have been Rain and Blood.
Yeah. And what was the first gig you saw?
I seen Tool supported by Mastodon when I was 14.
Mastodon, good band.
Yeah,
Lanner guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I want to play Am I You, Are You Me?
sad. And I really should do something. But I don't know how to go about it. I do not know where to begin.
Ladies, follow the best. shepherd, all naked as I walk. I heard the noises in the house, and I lighted a light. But there was nothing in it. There was nothing in it.
Walker Pedro show, we heard M-I-U-R-U-Me. M-I-U-R-U-Me.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Correct? Okay. Okay. From False Bliss. And then Paper Mice, with Swine Flu, Swine Flu Suits. So, yeah, everybody's trying to make fucking titles. Watkins. These are bands that Howie Reeve likes. He was on the show last week. Well, no, a couple days. Big Flame after that, man, a few syllables. Bog's Head, Peel Session of Can't Be Beat. King Champion Sounds, Pity Mall. That's brand new from them. They're on tour. Safe Word, Highland Park out of SoCal here. Now, brand new record, Cracking the Shell, South London. Hi-Fi Club out of Toulon, France, brand new. A Shirt at Night, Lauren with Far. I think New York City. Sajur Bitter Lemon out of Belgrade with Opet On. Thank you, Stanislav. Well, Blood Quartet from Barcelona with Stress of Her Regard. Yeah, that sounds poetic. A little Shakespeare right there, Alistair. Crane with Ascension.
Hey, Crane.
Not not a cover of the John Coltrane song, but probably coming from the same heart. Hey, Crane. Not National Debt. And then finally, False Bliss with Witchin' Party. Okay, Dave, your turn. Earliest musical recollection.
Earliest musical recollection is probably my dad playing the accordion.
Your pop's an accordion player.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Pete Major's second man organ man was too. His parents got it.
Yeah.
So he had an accordion in the house that he's playing it. And not what, after work and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, he's played for about 40 years.
Damn. Who was the last big...
Yeah, yeah.
In the U.S., the last big accordion star was a guy named Dick Contino, I think. And it was like in...
Oh, I don't know him.
Yeah, it was in the 50s. Late 50s, early 60s. And if you can imagine a sexy man with an accordion, and I guess he was the last of that kind, you know? But over here, it was a big instrument. I think a lot of the people from East... Europe was really into it because Pizzo's people. Slap. So, did he want you to play?
Oh, God, yeah.
And did you learn?
No.
Okay.
So, he always wanted
to. Yeah, I can understand.
He always wanted to play something.
Was there other instruments in the pad?
Yeah. So he, there was a guitar kicking around, and then my younger brother is a bagpipe player.
Whoa. So what town was this?
This is just outside Aberdeen in Scotland.
Up north, okay.
But my parents are from the Highlands.
Sure. One day I want to go and play up there. I'm always at the border, you know, but one day I want to get that far up. Okay, so there's a guitar, so did he know how to play that too?
No, he didn't. No, but there's always been some kind of music in the house when I grew up. Okay. Didn't matter whether or not I liked it, but it was always there's always something there.
Did somebody show you stuff on the guitar?
No, we were all self-taught, me and my brother, and my youngest brother as well.
Okay, what was the first record you bought yourself?
The first record I bought myself was when I was 10 years old. On holiday in Florida by an god-awful British pop star called Robbie Williams.
Oh, yeah.
He
was part of it. He was like in a boy band first, right?
Oh, yeah. That one doesn't stand up quite as well as Slayer.
Look, you know, everybody's got a path that leads to now. And they usually ain't the same one, okay? So it's okay. It's okay. And then what was the first gig you saw there?
Nice. Yeah, this one isn't a great answer either. The first gig I went to was Tom Jones.
Oh, cool.
Another Welsh kid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know what? That guy and another powerful low
that's
voice.
That's happening.
Yeah, and you know what? This dude is still playing gigs like Shirley Bassey. Incredible.
But this was before his resurgence.
He's in better shape than I'll ever be.
So this was in the kind of the bottom of the valley mode.
Yeah, this was like in the late 90s to about 1,000 people.
Yeah, because what happened was his son took over as manager and revitalized. He did the Prince cover, right?
Yeah.
So what about at school? Were you in the band?
choir?
Nothing like that. No, it took me, like, I played a bit of music, but it was never anything I enjoyed. And it wasn't really until about my early 20s that I found like-minded people in Aberdeen.
And how'd you get on synth?
What was that, sorry?
How'd you get on synth? Synthesizer.
I got bored of playing the bass, believe it or not.
Oh, so you were playing... When did you get on the bass? Now I'm very curious.
Yeah. So I played bass... I played guitar, and then realized that every second person in Aberdeen plays guitar, and I was nowhere near as good as any of them, so I thought, I want to play in a band. And then I went forward from there, and then I realized that there's far, far more to it than just playing guitar.
Play bass.
I tried my best, and then I kept going, and then the direction of the sound we were going in meant that we probably wanted to get something more synth-based into it, and then I've kind of split my time between the synth and the bass, and rediscovered my love for it.
Yeah, well, there's some funk stuff with real low-endy bass made by synthesizer, right? Funky Worm. There's something to being so fucking legato and thick, you know? And then later on this, who'd you take me to see, Brother Matt, in West Hollywood?
Aphrodite,
yeah. Drum and bass. And that, yeah, nobody was playing bass, but they had it coming over a synthesizer kind of, or a sequencer trip.
Nice.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Do you know Louis Cole?
No. Hit me, too.
No, I think he's based in L.A. as well, but he does a similar kind of thing.
Okay, I got to learn
about it. Tremendously.
The left hand of the keyboard. Okay,
yeah.
Last one here, John.
Yeah.
Earliest musical recollection.
Very easy at best. I was born into...
Get closer to the mic, John.
My memory is very hazy at best, but some stories have been told from when I was quite small. I was born into a musical family, kind of. No one really played an instrument, but my dad owned a music shop in Dunfermline.
Oh, wow. And
he also...
What town was this, John?
Dunfermline in Fife.
Sure.
In the late 70s. And he used to manage the Skids, you might have heard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the guitar guys' brother was a helper man for Porno for Pyros, Curly Jobson, a long time ago.
Richard Jobson, yeah. So they're family friends of ours.
Wow. Yeah, and then the guy ended up with Echo and the Bunny Man or something.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think he went on to do film for a while.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, my memory ain't so good. So you had music all around you.
Yeah, from when I was born. Although a lot of it's kind of hazy because my dad sold the record, well, the music shop, when I was only like 2 years old or something like that. So,
what was the first record you bought yourself?
It was Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden.
Okay. And what was the first gig you saw?
Now, this is slightly embarrassing, but it's the Black Crowes.
Okay.
At Edinburgh Playhouse.
Okay.
I was 13 at the time, so...
No, look, there's no wrong answer with that kind of question. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's like
My friend's dad really liked the Black Crowes, so he took us, me and my friend, we were only 13, he drove us up to Edinburgh, and he made sure we were okay, so he was kind of our chaperone.
Yeah. So, look, John, we'll blame him.
Well, I really enjoyed it, you know. Okay. Actually, I wasn't...
Well, how did you get on guitar?
I'm not sure. I think a lot of my friends were getting into playing music and they were wanting to start a band, and I played a bit of drums but also wanted to play guitar, so I tried to do a bit of both, and we swapped around. The first band I ever played in, we just kind of swapped instruments, which was good. So I learned to play drums, bass and guitar at the same time.
Oh, that's bitching. That is really bitching. I think if you could play drums, you could play anything else. That's why people try to make drummers out to be like retards. Because they're jealous of the power. Because it's all rhythm, right? This is rhythm music. John, what was your first guitar?
My first guitar was a horrible catalog guitar called a Roxer guitar.
A catalog guitar? I've never heard of those kind of guitars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was like a UK catalog sort of real cheap entry point guitar. It had skulls.
Oh, you mean like Dan Electro made guitars for Sears and Roebuck, they called it a Silvertone.
Oh, not even as good as a Silvertone.
No, but what I mean by catalog, it's where you order shit in the old days. It was the old internet.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you'd always have a big one in the head. Mm-hmm. We called it the wish book, right? While you're taking shit, you know, you're looking through this thing. If I had a bunch of books, I'd buy this and that and this.
Oh, I always used to do that. I used to flick through the catalog and I'd be like, right, I'm only allowed 2 items per page. I'll get this and this.
And what was your first amp, John?
My first what?
Amp. Amplifier.
I think it was a mini Marshall. So I don't know if you got them in America, but very tiny battery operated amps.
Battery operated?
It was designed like a Marshall stack. Like but it was the size of a packet of cigarettes, and you could actually clip it onto your belt, you know?
How'd you get that over the fucking drums? Look, we're at the end of the first hour. May 23rd, 2019, Dishwap Beatles Show. Special guest, False Bliss, hanging tight for hour two. May 23rd, 2019, it's the second hour of the What for Pedro Show.
I used to fish every day with my dad. completed mobility of the scene, and there is no more energy to try. Sickly hate and reality pilot mass dream in the sick. The way to say this once again routine. Returning again to the shitty feeling.
Rock for Pedro show started the second hour off with To the Moon, False Bliss. And listeners out there, I'm very surprised that the guys living overseas didn't know about the honeymooners in the early 50s. And this is what Ralph Gannon used to tell his wife when he was threatening the soccer and shit, which was really happening as far as role models to grow up. Hey, you know, this guy was always screaming. The set was one room, right? It was like one table and one lamp. Really, kind of.
Before he domestic abuse.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, right? Oh, man. And then his buddy was Ed Norton, who worked in the sewer, and he had a wife, too, Trixie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was like it. And then the ripoff was, which was somebody was familiar with, I think Dave, the Flintstones. Uh-huh. And because they kind of copied that with caveman clothes. Yeah. Which I guess
just
was
put a different era.
Yeah, right. And deletions after that was set up. Telomere Repair with Patience Douglas. Caviares with Panis at Cercenas. Lear. Joe Baiza. Felix Gebhard duo. He made a record. It's called Two Duos, I think. It's Felix with one, and then Jason Kahn, his old drummer, on the other. Incredible. Joe Baiza. He's coming to Casa Hanzo at the end of June to record a demo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Pizzo. And then the Fiction with Real Housewives of the Salton Sea. Ooh, got odor to that one. The Healers, Sick, and False Bliss with Interlude, which is, I guess, the middle part if you're going to have a prelude. The thing is, you didn't have an ending one. There was no coda. But anyway, I want to get to the story of fucking False Bliss. Because I know you guys had a death pedal before this, and that's how I met you. So let's enlighten the listeners to the story of you guys coming together.
Well, basically, it was like I was doing like a solo thing, And I decided to make it like...
This is Alistair talking, right?
This is Alistair talking from Edinburgh. 15 degrees outside. I was doing a solo thing, and I'd taken a couple of years out of music, and I started like thinking I'd want to do something again, and then it was Death Puddle, and it like had bells in there.
Oh, but puddle,
then,
like, not pedal.
Yeah, I know. Puddle sounds.
I thought
deep.
It was like dangerously riding a fucking bike, like on a freeway or some shit.
Death Puddle sounds so much cooler anyway. But just dropped all the vowels when I basically met up with John. And Dave was living in Edinburgh at the time as well, and we just formed this like sort of wee band. And I'd come up with like the tracks initially, but then we just formed a band from there. And I think when we started working on this record, it was important to show that it was like it wasn't just me anymore. It was like, and how we've come together is like something that I think is pretty fucking awesome, really, because we've all like added in just different elements. It's not just like different songs, but
so Alistair, you're telling me the first guy you met was Dave.
Dave, yeah, Dave in Aberdeen. So like, I grew up in Aberdeen as well.
And so, with solo, you're playing what, guitar and singing?
Yeah, I was playing like a really detuned like Telecaster at the time, and just making horrible music.
And so you bring in the Dave, your duo, and he's doing bass and synthesizer.
It was more like I did like a couple of things on my own, and I had friends like help out with the different bits and pieces. And then when I moved to Edinburgh, it was like me, Dave, and John.
And then you got John, but was he doing drums or was he doing guitar?
Only me and John were playing in another band called GCH Fox, and he was playing drums in that, and I said, hey man, do you want to play some guitar? And I think you were pretty up for it. So
Death Puddle, the first version of Death Puddle had you on guitar, detuned guitar, Dave on the synth and bass, and then John was playing guitar too. You had no drummer?
No, we had a different drummer. That was Ross, who's actually from the stateside as well. Okay. So we're just like a musical carousel of members.
Okay, so when does Chris join the band?
Chris joined after Ross left, and then...
When was that?
And that was, what? 2016, so that's when we probably became full splits, really.
Okay. So when Death Puddle ends, it kind of, the segue is on the drummer move.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, let's go back to the first Death Puddle gig. What was that like? Where was it at?
I was supporting one of the guys from the Scars in
the Scars.
Yeah.
Are you talking about? They had a fast single, right?
Yeah.
That was a great band. I don't know if they ever had an album or anything, but I had that 7-inch.
Yeah, like
I think it was called Horror Story or something.
See, I don't know. I ended up getting pulled into this game.
No, this shit, we're talking like late 70s, early 80s.
Okay, cool. Yeah. They had one album.
If it's the same Scars I'm thinking of on Fast Records.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, he knew one of the local promoters in Aberdeen, and we often knew this like promoter because he had like a fucking... I don't know, Devil's Altar in his back garden, supposedly. So it was always, like, cool trying to get gigs off him. And then I ended up supporting Paul Research from the Scars, which was kind of crazy for a first gig. And I was singing about songs of, I don't know, this detuned guitar, like, sort of feeling pretty down about myself and just probably making everybody else feel miserable.
I remember about the Scars, the bass guitar was pretty loud. It was good.
Yeah, man.
I think he played a Rickenbacker. Okay, so... You're singing, this, but the other guys are playing with you, right? Death Puddle is first you, but Puddle is first you by yourself, then you bring in the other guys. Okay.
Yeah. Then I moved down to Edinburgh, and that's where the guys started coming in.
Sure. And so what's the first gig with Dave and John?
Dave and John, I think it was a little place, there's a venue called Paradise Palms, which is really... ethically a really cool acceptance venue, and it's really like they play a lot of electronic music. We played for a local label called Song by Toads, which I don't think he's doing anything anymore, but he used to be our label. and we played a gig there, and yeah, it was ridiculous, but really good fun.
And what about the first time you guys recorded together?
With Chris, or just
No. Because Chris is actually False Bliss. I'm still talking Death Puddle.
The first time we started recording together was there was a guy called Gary who we'd met through some friends. He's a really good sound engineer, and he has this like kind of weird studio south of Edinburgh, and it's like in what used to be a school, but like there's like. I don't know. He's like sort of fleshed it out with a studio. We ended up recording there. I don't know about 2015, maybe somewhere around then. We came up with this EP, and that went. Things started changing from being really death metal to False Bliss.
Okay. And do you remember the first gig you did with Chris?
Oh yeah.
We played with a band from New York called Show Me the Body. They were playing in Glasgow, and that was the first thing I remember.
What venue?
That band, like, the front man, like, was playing like a banjo at one point.
what venue?
Broadcast in Glasgow. Yeah,
I played there. I played Broadcast. I played mono. I played stereo. I played.
Mono and stereo, two of the best venues, man.
Yeah, and, Yeah, all that below the deck, the kind of stuff. The first one I played was nice and sleazy. Brother, oh, yeah. Usually chow pads or bars, and then they got the action going on live downstairs.
Kind of
Glasgow thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I'm gonna be in Glasgow with Flipper in August.
I know we're coming. We were just speaking about getting tickets before you.
Actually, I think it's CCA, which is a really kind of very nice venue. Very good, Pat.
Yeah, I've got my ticket already.
You already did? You're most kind. Yeah. I love that band, and Minutemen played with them 40 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, up in the city where they're from, and. I remember getting, Minutemen used to get a lot of shit thrown at them. But I remember that gig was batteries. Fucking batteries hurt, man.
Jeez.
Especially the D ones, you know. You motherfucker. Maybe throw AAA, but no Ds. even cups of piss and used rubbers, but fucking D batteries, come on. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. And even more what I'm looking for right now is Brother Matt bringing forth the Spin Cyclists. So you guys hold tight.
Very cool. Richard Derrick.
So I'm Brother Matt. This is the Blue Shift, the final chapter, 17 minutes after midnight. Looks like things are ready to roll down the hall with P. Merkin and the Bodags, so we're going to hand things over to them right now here at KXLU.
All right, again, we'd like to thank Matt for having us up here because he's been really good to us over the last, I guess, 5 years or something, yeah. However long he's been doing it.
It's one of the only places in L.A. where unknown people can come up and play on the radio.
So this is all dedicated to Matt. So anyway, here we go.
Rooster, who's going on the ground? Ah!
That was me with Richard Garrett in a solo career. Covering Cap Beefheart. Like 22 years ago.
That's a whole bunch of Richard Derrick music that he was involved in there.
I think Joe Biza was on guitar and Bob Lee was on the drums.
Yeah, he had stuff with Nels, Crane, Richard Sinclair was in there.
Right.
Yeah, he just liked bringing people together for cool musical events.
And
he
made a bunch.
Yeah, yeah, he was really talented. Yeah.
Which I think, actually, he was a bass guy, kind of. He played everything.
Played drums at a Minutemen gig at UCLA.
For Georgie, right. And that was really important. He really wanted to do that gig, and Georgie couldn't get it off, so he came to the rescue. But like Crane. So Crane was mainly a bass guy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have to, he could go to the keyboard. He could go to the drums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, versatile. Yeah. Yeah,
very, very versatile. Very creative.
Cover any bass.
And
what's down there?
I mean, most of the stuff is not 100% him. He likes to play with other people.
Yeah, make stuff happen.
Yeah, kind of like the ideal of the bass player. What's going on over there, guys? We're talking about what we just played during Brother Matt's spin cycles. Because we wanted to know, you guys listening or what?
Sorry, what's that?
Oh, yeah, you're on the air, okay, so people hear you act all retarded and shit.
Important stuff going on.
Yeah, it's important shit here. We're talking about Richard Derrick, the music brother that we lost last week, and his contributions. This is a guy who didn't really like to, I mean, he liked to have funny names for his projects, and one of them was called Solo Career, but it was actually playing with all kinds of different people.
Yeah,
it wasn't solo
great name.
At all. In fact, Empty Box is more of a thing. He liked to, what can we fill up the empty box with musically? He's more about like that. And you're dearly missed, Richard. Guys, we're going to talk about the new album when we come back, because we're at the end of the second hour of the, what is it?
No worries, pal.
May 23rd, 2019 edition. Lock Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. May 23rd, 2019. It's the third hour.
Yeah!
Of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Dedicated to everyone in this room. I hope everything's gonna be okay.
I'm still free,
Watch for Pedro. Show start off the third hour. You heard them acknowledge that. Okay. Third hour with Tropicate from False Bliss. Then Code Hangers with Squeaky Tiki. Julie Slick, great bass player out of Philly with Cyrene. Spain, that's a bass player, Josh Hayden, Petra's brother. Yeah. Going to do two songs with him at the end of the month. Oh,
cool.
Do Herbie Flowers, that's a good bass player from England. He did a wild thing. You ever hear, what's it called? Walk on the Wild Side?
Yeah.
He did two basses, a stand-up and electric.
Oh, oh,
one slides up, one slides down. Yeah, with the fucking 11th. Mm. Great idea. What'd he say? Don't do drugs and don't play too many notes. Finally, Silence, False Bliss. I want to know about this new record from False Bliss. Where was it done?
It was done at my old college because I studied audio engineering at college, and they let me go back in, and it didn't cost us anything.
Yeah, that's jammy. Yeah. Where was this?
This is in Edinburgh, Edinburgh College. It had studios put in a few years ago when I first started studying there, and I just messaged them and said, hey, I'll pass on whatever knowledge I can. You can get some of the students to help out as engineers, and we'll get free recording, and they went for it, so that's what we ended up doing.
First Minuteman recording, it never came out, but we did three songs with Frank Tonchi at Harvard College, the same idea.
Oh, cool.
First time ever I was in a studio. Did you do it in... what, small spurts or one big batch?
No, one big batch over 1 week. We all took the time off. It was 5 days, a day for each instrument, and then kind of pickups and some extra synth stuff on the last day. Then took a break for a while, and then it was vocals later in the year.
The funny thing about the recordings before, though, was like, I was so sick during the whole thing that when we got to mixing, I couldn't even remember some of the synth parts I put in, so I was telling Chris to turn a little bit of John's guitar down, but it was actually me just revving up this stupid synth with the slide. And
you had fever?
Yeah, I was pretty sick. And
yeah, when you get fever, man, what's it called, delirium? Man, the vision I always get when I have bad fever is spaghetti getting pulled through a fork, you know? Oof. Can't get that image out of my fucking head. But I've been pretty good with the sickness lately. Yeah. But, you got to kind of. You know, you don't want to take blows. So, what about the process about getting the material? Did you have all the songs written ahead of time?
Yeah, I think pretty much. We'd like been jamming for quite a while, and it had gone like through a few phases. Like, somebody would have a particular song idea, or we would like sort of jam in batches. So like there was a few times when me and John just jammed, or there was a time when like Dave, Chris and John jammed, or there was just these little like sort of combinations that sort of came together, and then we just started putting it together all ourselves. And it was when we got to the studio, there was just one track that like kind of wasn't really that well rehearsed or like ready, and that was To the Moon. And it's got this kind of seasick feel to it now because there's these, the way Chris has mixed it, because Chris mixed it as well, like the guitars kind of like come in and out of time, and it's just got this sort of weird, easy feeling. I kind of like that though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great record, and it's a great piece of music, and I'm just curious how it came together. So you're saying they were jams, but the jams were done at the practice pad before you got to the studio.
No, well, it was a bit of everything. Like, you know, I can distinctly remember like a really nice memory of like actually coming up with like To the Moon, for instance, was like me going around to John's and just us jamming in his kitchen. And then there'd be other stuff where it'd be in one practice studio or another song like just developed in another practice studio. It's like we kind of like sort of hopscotched around the city or like in who was available, and then what was kind of interesting when we recorded it was like it was all us together, and that was it, and we're putting it all together in that way, and that's
of course cool. Like, what I'm saying is like some bands, they completely write the shit in the studio, which is kind of an expensive way to do it, but since you were doing it at school and doing it for free anyway, I was curious.
We kind of road tested some of the songs on live shows and stuff as well.
That's a good idea.
You
do an album and it's all done, you know, without ever playing it for people. And then once you do it for a year, it's like, man, we should have recorded it. Yeah. Here, I want to play this song
to the forest. I guess to the moon and to the forest. I don't think Ralph Cramden said to the forest.
don't even have to hear all things that I say. When I'm thinking about you, when I'm dreaming about you, when I'm scheming about you, when I'm flying, crying, sighing, swimming, thinking and drowning about you. I said there was something about you. When it's to you, I pray. Please help me. Help me to find a way out of here. I want to get it clear. You can't hear. You can't hear. You can't hear. You can't hear anything that I say.
live outside in a cardboard box. Underneath in the shade of a rickety warm barn. Put there by the big one I run away from. But usually not so far. Food can be found close by to the place where the big one comes in and out of. And clean water too is sometimes there. Though the possum often makes it dirty. I must share with friend and stranger. And sometimes I am chased away. I do get cold, I do get hot. I do get eaten by flea and mosquito. Mostly a safe place is what I want. A safe place is mostly what I want. Mostly a safe place is what I want. A safe place is mostly what I want.
Quack for Pedro show. Yeah, To the Forest, False Bliss. And after that, Keep in Motion by Guided by Voices. For the trombone. Yeah, I think he's working on his 104th album right now. The Odes with Miles Away. That's got Ted Milton from Blurt. Great cat. Rattlemouth with We Sleep Outside. Red Mass out of Montreal with Show Me the Money. Henry Kaiser with Roberto Zorzi. Yeah, he's got an album of guitar duets. And this is Limpaziente Inglesa. Yeah, so maybe English limping.
I'm going to see Guided by Voices in London in a couple of weeks.
All right. They're playing good, man. They played here in Pedro a couple year and a half ago, and it was great. And he's going to, I think, play at the Roxy New Year's, and they're going to do like 100 songs.
I saw that, yeah. Oh. That's amazing.
Finally, Tonic Banger by False Bliss. Now, Banger is a sausage, right?
It can be if you want it to be. It can be an old car or smoke as well.
Oh, we say banger for four banger, right? We call for a four cylinder car. But no, I remember first going to this thing called Full England Breakfast.
Bangers and Mash.
And there's that too, right? Bangers and Mash. And it's some kind of it's different kind of sausage. Like they stuff them with some kind of wheat or some kind of filler. They're not pure meat. Yeah.
It's not like your typical American sausage.
No, I think it pops too with the skin.
Tonic
is like quinine water you put in with your fucking gin so it tastes even more like medicine.
Yeah.
I found somewhere that gin actually doesn't come from England. I think it was the Dutch people who came up with it. Juniper berries. God damn, I can't stand the taste of that shit. I'm more into the brown. So enlighten me to Tonic Banger.
Tonic Banger, I think it alludes to the word tonic alludes to Buckfast. I don't know if you've ever sampled the amber nectar when you've been in Scotland.
Is it a road to false bliss?
See, yes. a common people divided by a language.
Yes. it's a wine. It's a very viscous wine. It's made by Benedictine monks, and it's our national drink after whiskey and iron brew.
What about that shit down by Plymouth? A Buckstaff.
Buckfast. Yeah. So
this shit is like. It's liquor and coffee or some shit. And monks make that shit. I'm going to record with some Plymouth guys this summer called Tripper. And they live nearby this pad. And they say a lot of Scott people like to drink this. So anyway, look, everybody's beautiful. Everything that people are drinking is beautiful. It's all. Just be careful. I want to know the plans for False Bliss. What's in the future?
All right. Yeah, I think... with this phone call, like Dave's over in Canada, he's moved over there. So three of us have got like some thoughts to sort of put together, and I think we're just going to write quite a lot. It'll be good to like sort of start playing a few more shows, but yeah,
we could get some new tracks, and maybe we work on how we present old songs as well, because Dave's 100%. Gone now, so.
Yeah, I think we'll.
You guys are going to start doing gigs as a trio, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, we would like to definitely write as a trio, possibly even perform as a trio if it's sounding good.
So where can people find you on the internet?
So if they just search for False Bliss and Bandcamp, then.
So there ain't no False Bliss website?
No.
But there will be, because everybody fucking needs one. I mean,
it's called Facebook.
No, that's some other guy telephone pole that you're putting flyers up on, and he owns that telephone pole. So I want you guys to get your own website, because that would be like you having your own fanzine, okay? Down the road, no rush, but don't, you know, because that mean old man's going to tell you to get off his yard if you start playing shit he don't like. Look, it's a great honor to have you aboard. I want you to keep on keeping on. Please don't forget about Dave in Canada. Don't forget about Dave in Canada.
Nice.
And Dave, I'm going to see you real soon when I get up there in the fall, okay?
Oh, yeah. Horseshoe Tavern.
Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aid and abetting. People,
pleasure.
It's been the May 23, 2019 edition of Waka Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.